This is Money in Motion with Class Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Phone lines are open for you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Class Financial, call the station now. Telephone number 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. We'll get you right on the air. Don't forget, you can learn more about Class Financial on their website, classfinancial.com. That's Class, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. A lot of information on classfinancial.com. You can learn more about the team, all the financial advisors, planners, all the different people that work at Class Financial. You can learn about their separate divisions. Also a great opportunity there to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a great once-a-week email that you receive. It's got a snapshot of what's been happening in the markets. Also a link to the most recent podcast so you can listen back to the program. Again, all of that available for you at classfinancial.com. The telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Class Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number for Class Financial, 608-442-5637. And to get on the air this morning, number at the station, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. And joining us this week, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. CJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing really well. Great to talk with you. And we've got an important conversation ahead. And Eric joins us this morning. Eric, how have you been? It's been a while.
Yes, it has. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
It's really good to have both of you along. And we've got an important conversation this week about inheriting money. And I think a lot of us, when we think of that, oh, it's great, all this, you know, it can be a fantastic opportunity. But there's a lot of things to consider, a lot of things to weigh. And of course, there's the emotion of it as well. So we'll talk with Eric and CJ about that. A couple things, too, as we talk on the program this morning. I mentioned the website, not only to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. If you ever miss part of a program, or you want to listen back or share it, when you're at classfinancial.com, up top, there's a place there to listen back to previous shows' podcasts. Again, that's at classfinancial.com. Our telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you call at an appointment at Class Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, the number, 608-442-5637. Speaking of the number, later on the program, I'm going to have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Target from our friends at Class Financial with the Class Quiz Quench Leak. Little tip, if you listen closer to the program, oftentimes the question and answer, almost every time as a matter of fact, come up during the program. We can tell you how you can win that a little bit later on the show. And speaking of the Class Quiz Quench Week, before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's take a look back at last week's Class Quiz Quench Week. Get the question and the answer there as well, CJ.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody for listening. And when you call in for our Class Quiz question of the week, I hope you enjoy it. It's a little fun way to make sure that people stay engaged and to hopefully teach you something. So last week's question was, when you begin to take money from your retirement accounts, you will likely pay income taxes on the amount distributed. And that was a true or false question. And Lisa from Madison called in last week and was correct with the answer. It is true. It's true, since you never paid income tax on the earned money on the way into the account. So once it's distributed, of course, you will pay tax. So listen again closely this week and call in if you think you know the answer.
All right, coming up, $25 gift card to Target, and coming up a little bit later on the program. Speaking of last week's show, don't forget, you can always listen back on the podcast at classfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. The phone lines are open for you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Get you on the air with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. And today we are exploring what happens when you inherit money and deal with taxes. And I got to guess, Eric, there's a lot to understand about this, isn't there?
There definitely is. Anyone who's ever lost a loved one will tell you that it's an extremely emotional and stressful time. But separate from that emotional loss of a person is really the whole separate stress of closing out their financial affairs and potentially inheriting money from them, which, like I said, it creates its own share of stress. The Federal Reserve estimates that roughly 1.7 million households receive an inheritance each year. So we thought it'd be important today to just take some time and talk about what you expect when things like that happen and give you some tips on things to do right away when this happens.
Perfect.
So the first thing, and this is probably the most important, to be very honest, is taking the time to grieve. So as you can imagine, we work with clients on these types of things all the time. And it's the process can be stressful and emotional, as I said, on its own. So making sure on the front end that people are taking some time to process this and not feeling like they need to be rushed into taking action right away. Another more, I guess, a little bit more basic piece of this would be making sure you're getting an original copy of the death certificate. So each investment or account or whatever it might be that you're inheriting is likely going to require at least a copy of the death certificate or maybe even an original one. So make sure that as you're getting ready to start filing paperwork that you have copies of the death certificate. And the third kind of initial thing that we want to make sure people are thinking about is making sure you have financial professionals to guide you. So that could be your financial advisor, your CPA, maybe an estate planning attorney, whoever it is. It's just really important to make sure you have a trusted person who can guide you and help you understand what's in front of you and how best to deal with things in an organized way.
And that's important, too, as we talk about this stuff. And Eric, as you bring up some of these points, I think a lot of times, you know, second, we often think of this stuff like, oh, I'm good, you know, getting money. And then you realize, well, you're also having to deal with, again, I think it, when removed from it, we don't think about this, the loss of a loved one. And that can be very devastating. You mentioned about taking the time to grieve. And of course, going through some of these very important initial steps are very vital to making sure that everything's done properly. And of course, that you're feeling good about it as well, in the best position as well. So we're talking this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Love to get you on the air this morning. If you've got a question for Eric and CJ, telephone number here at the station, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Don't forget as well, you can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for the initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. And CJ, when we talk about some of the things to be careful about when you find out you're receiving money, there are things you need to know about taxes and other things on that inheritance, aren't there?
Yeah. So again, if you've found yourself in this situation previously, you know that it's a little bit complicated, especially when it comes to things like taxes and what to do with the money and the best use for the dollars, and then what kind of an account you're inheriting it through. So we're gonna talk about a little bit of that. So I guess step number one would be, as you find out that you are receiving an inheritance, number one would be resist the urge to spend it all at once. So listen, we have this saying in our office, which is, when you have not worked for something on your own, you often therefore don't respect it as your own, right? So this is one of the reasons why we're generally not big fans of just free money, right? They're like, oh, free money, it just falls out of the sky. When people receive free money, they didn't work for it, and therefore it doesn't have much value to them, and they'll just blow it on anything. And we see this with inheritance, especially if it's a surprise inheritance, right? It's almost like finding a $100 bill on the sidewalk, especially if you're a younger person. The first thing they think of doing is like, oh my gosh, think of the fun thing that I could do. And then like an hour later, the $100 is gone and there's like no long-term value. Well, inheritance can be that same way. So according to a study funded by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, about one-third or 33% of people who receive an inheritance spend all of it and even dip into other savings within the first 2 years of receiving that inheritance. Like, let that sink in. 33% of people who receive inheritances spend it all and even dip into their savings. So it's kind of like the lottery winner, right? They end up bankrupt and you go, how is this possible? Because they didn't work for it, they didn't think about it, they didn't plan for it, and so it didn't end up being a blessing to them, it ended up being a curse to them. So do the opposite. Treat the inheritance as if it were your own money to start with. And remember that receiving an inheritance from someone should be a blessing. So properly managing how you receive it can perhaps, you know, shore up your debt. You could pay down your mortgage, pay off your mortgage, get rid of credit card debt, build a future retirement bucket. That inheritance could be a long-term blessing to you and your extended family members if you think about it beforehand and plan appropriately. And then obviously, it's going to sound very self-serving, but I hope those who listen have listened long enough to know that this is not our intent. I would highly suggest that you seek out professional guidance. Because again, when you pick up that dollar off the sidewalk or you receive that surprise inheritance, there can often be poor financial habits that play out. And you want to, if I can be frank, you want to protect yourself from yourself. And so just talk to a financial professional, talk to them about your balance sheet, and they'll give you some good ideas of kind of, you know, how to use the money wisely.
Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Great website. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number, 608-442-5637. And to get on the air with Eric and CJ, telephone number here at the station, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. 1310. All right, let's talk taxes, CJ.
Oh, yes. So I guess first things first, most people would be happy to know that generally speaking, no, there will be very little taxes on what you inherit, depending upon what you inherit. So this gets a little bit complex, but we should start with this concept of what's called a lifetime exemption amount or a federal estate tax limitation. So people have heard us talk about this before, but effectively during your life or after your death, you can give away up to about $13 million. It's actually $12.92 million per person over your lifetime or at your death. Now, there's this concept of you can give like $17,000 per year in 2023 to any one individual. So from one individual to another individual. And this is the idea of like the gift tax exclusion amount. We're not going to get real deep into this. Just you should know that that's those $17,000 gifts that you can give per year don't count against the 13 total. That's the key. But you can still give away up to $13 million if you want to, but that's your lifetime exclusion amount. Okay, so if you give $5 million while you're alive, then you only have $8 million to give at death. I hope this is making some basic sense to our listeners. But here's the point. Assuming your parents aren't dying with more than, well, it's really $26 million, right? Because it's $13 million per person. Assuming they're not giving that much money away, which, by the way, is like 99% of deaths, then really the tax that you would have to pay on the inheritance would be driven by the account type that you are receiving it through. So an example of this would be like a home. If you sell the home at fair market value based upon death, you're not going to pay taxes on that. The checking, the savings account, you're not going to pay taxes on that. An after-tax investment account, you're not going to pay taxes on that. Where taxes would start to come into play is if you are inheriting a retirement account or an annuity, because annuities provide some tax deferral. So again, retirement account or annuity, those account types or registrations by definition have tax benefits, but also have tax deferral often. And therefore that deferral has to eventually be paid by somebody. Now here's the trick. People go, okay. So, you know, when my parents die, they're going to leave me a bunch of retirement money and I'll have to pay taxes. Maybe, but remember that concept of required minimum distributions. We've done entire shows on required distributions. Well, required distributions will reduce the value of your parents' retirement accounts if they are dying at 90 or 95 years old. As a matter of fact, it'll dramatically reduce it down. So therefore, by the time people are dying at, say, 90, 95, of course, it depends on when they die, their overall estate is typically not comprised primarily of retirement accounts. It's actually comprised primarily of non-retirement assets. Which means, back to the original statement I made, most of what we see people inheriting is actually not taxable. Now, again, I'm going through some high-level details here, but for anybody who's listening, who's any bit confused about what I'm saying, this is why we say seek out professional guidance. Because I can tell you probably half a dozen times in my career, and I've been at this for about 20 years now, half a dozen times in my career, I have had people come in and say, I got an inheritance. I heard you on the radio. I heard you, you know, somebody referred me to you and I'm here to work with you. And I go, oh, what did you inherit? And they're like, well, that was a year ago. I've already received everything. And I go, what did you receive? And it turns out they liquidated every portion of what they received, of which some was in annuities, some was in retirement accounts. And boy, oh boy, that next year, do they have a tax surprise. I mean, I have legitimately seen hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes with people not even knowing it.
Wow.
Because they blew through the paperwork, yeah. Right? They didn't pay attention. It was like, I don't know, just give me the money. So when you find out you are a beneficiary of an estate, you're going to start inheriting assets. You're getting what are called claims forms that you have to fill out with technical language around tax withholding. Slow down the bus and hire somebody to help you just make wise decisions.
Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They come to us from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Don't forget that first appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number, 608-442-5637. To get on the air with CJ and Eric, love to hear from you this morning. Telephone number here at the station, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. As if the federal side wasn't complicated enough, the states, they like to play their own little thing. They all got their own little rules, don't they, CJ?
They do, yeah. So I had mentioned that on the federal side, there's this concept of federal estate taxes at about $13 million per person that you can give during life or after life without any sort of estate tax. By the way, estate taxes are separate from sales taxes, which are separate from income taxes. So if you want to have a fun little chat, that's a fun one to have with an accountant or a financial advisor, just to recognize how state and local and federal governments generate revenue. It's a pretty mind-bending concept. But anyway, so this federal estate tax doesn't apply to most people, just given how high the level is. But on inheritances within states, because of course states want their cut of this large estate of somebody who dies who's a resident of their state. So currently, 17 states still levy estate, which are also known as inheritance taxes. But FYI, Wisconsin does not have an estate tax. But Illinois does, because I know the radio waves get down to Illinois, yes. And we have some clients in Illinois. Illinois does, but Wisconsin does not. Now, these state inheritance taxes can generate quite a bit of revenue for the states, depending upon where these levels reside. And it's just a way to basically, you know, listen, when you die, you're not there to tell somebody you don't like the outcome of the tax, right? It's your children who are having to pay this tax, not you. So again, back to my original point here. These exemption amounts for the feds and for each state that you might live in, they vary year by year. As a matter of fact, there's some sunsetting that is scheduled to occur, meaning if nothing is done, the federal estate tax level sunsets starting in the year 2026. And it would go from the $13 million it is at now down to about $6 million per person. Which again, most people are saying that doesn't apply to me. But as you can imagine, we just cut the exemption in half just based on flipping into a new calendar year in 2026. So you really, if you are building any level of wealth, whether it be in land or a business or in accounts, I just cannot encourage you enough. Hire some professionals just to look out for these things, because unfortunately, it's the ultimate whoopsie when you pass away and say you're a farmer and your kids, you know, Uncle Sam comes a knocking on their door and says, you owe me a bunch of money. And they go, what are you talking about? Mom and Dad had barely any cash. And Uncle Sam points out at the farm and says, but that's liquid gold, or that's, you know, brown gold. So just it's the value of everything that gets counted towards this. And so you want to just slow down and talk to a good advisor.
Talking with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, online klossfinancial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for the initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. CJ, is this income? How is this viewed inheritance wise when it comes to income taxes?
Yeah. So again, back to that, it just depends on the account type that you're inheriting. So no, generally speaking, the vast majority, even my, you know, extreme example of a farmer who has maybe $20 million in land, which again, family farmers are becoming more rare, but there's still some $20, $30, $40 million of land. It's not so much going to... You wouldn't have an income tax on that piece because it's not in a retirement account. This is just land that you own outright or through a trust. But it would be the federal estate tax that you would pay on any dollar amount over that $13 million per person inheriting, or per person who's died. That federal estate tax, by the way, can be anywhere between 40 and 50% for the amount that is over those exemptions, also known as Holy smokes, that's a huge number, yeah. And you do not want to be paying federal estate taxes. FYI, for those farmers who are listening going, oh my goodness, there's nothing I can do. Not true. There's estate planning that you can do to be creative, to give portions to charities. My point being, you have options to choose from. You just have to do it before death. So in all of these circumstances, it's quite complex. I just cannot emphasize enough. We highly suggest that you sit down with a good advisor, a good accountant, good attorney. Truth be told, when your estate exceeds $10 million, we would suggest you have an all financial team meeting at least once a year. Hmm. This is advisor, accountant, attorney, and maybe insurance agent, because they need to be working in coordination on your behalf to make sure that they're accounting for all these variables.
Vital steps and really important information this week, each and every week, of course, on Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. If you missed any part of today's program or you want to listen back to the previous shows, you can listen to the podcast right at klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. We'll talk about if you inherit maybe a 401k or an IRA. What do you need to know? What steps should you take? We'll do that and more as Money in Motion with Klaus Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Chatting with our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, CJ Klaus and Eric Schwartz, online, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Talking this week about what happens if you inherit money, what you need to be aware of when it comes to handling that stuff, and taxes play a big role. And of course, we talked quite a bit about that. If you missed it, don't forget to listen back to the podcast at klausfinancial.com. So Eric, what about if you're inheriting a retirement account, like let's see, get like a 401k or an IRA? What are the best first steps there?
That's a great question, Sean. So the first thing that you're going to want to do is likely open a beneficiary or an inherited IRA. You want to do this so that you can receive the funds from that 401k or IRA that you've inherited and preserve their tax-deferred status. So assuming that you're inheriting a traditional IRA or 401k with pre-tax money in it, remember that none of the money in that account has ever been taxed. So as it comes out, as you're taking distributions, you're going to have to pay income tax on that. And you'll pay it according to, you know, your own tax bracket. It comes through just like ordinary income on your tax return. Now, in recent years, we've seen some pretty substantial legislative changes to the retirement landscape in the form of the SECURE Act, which was signed in 2019, and then the subsequent SECURE Act 2.0 of 2022. Now, I know I speak about this as if everybody knows what that is, and that's because for the last few years in the retirement advisor space, we've been living and breathing changes as a result of the SECURE Acts. But the biggest changes, or one of the biggest changes we're seeing out of that, is changes to the options available to beneficiaries. So these new laws have eliminated the ability to what's called stretch your taxable IRA distributions if you are a non-spouse beneficiary. So child, niece, nephew, whatever, anything outside of being a spousal beneficiary, you are no longer able to take the distributions out of an inherited account over your lifetime. So we've talked a lot about required minimum distributions before. So pre-SECURE Act, basically you would take a required distribution from the inherited account based on your life expectancy. So if you're 40 years old inheriting an account, obviously you're taking a smaller percentage during your younger years. So basically anybody who has inherited an IRA after January 1st, 2020 now has a 10-year clock to withdraw the funds. Now remember, this only applies to non-spousal beneficiaries. So basically, you have 10 years from the date of death to distribute the account. So there really is kind of three different ways that you probably do this. One, you withdraw the assets evenly, so taking a tenth each year over 10 years. Maybe wait until the end of the 10-year period and then withdraw everything. Or you're just taking kind of periodic withdrawals, and then in the 10th year, making sure you get the final amount out. Now, there's another wrinkle here, if the person from whom you inherited that account was already taking their required distributions, so they're already taking a minimum amount each year while they're alive, then you still have the 10-year clock, but you are required to take out a minimum amount each year along the way, and then in the 10th year, taking out the remaining balance. So I'm going to echo what CJ was saying earlier. These are really, really complicated things, and they're getting more complicated, so please seek out a professional help with this.
I cannot reemphasize what Eric just said enough, everybody. This whole required minimum distribution, we are formally trained. We have CFPs and CFAs on staff who literally digest this type of information with excitement. Mm-hmm. And yet it has taken our team months and months and months to develop a cohesive matrix to make sure that every different variable and consideration is accounted for, to make sure that people are meeting the distributions based on the IRS direction. So all I would say is this is not a do-it-yourselfer strategy. If you are planning on stretching any amount of the deferral of that inherited retirement account, seek professional guidance.
Important guidance, important stuff this morning from CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. We'll talk about what happens if you inherit a house. Maybe that house has a mortgage. We'll get the details on that. We will also do the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. We'll do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Coming down the home stretch here, 1310 WIBA and Money in Motion, brought to you by Kloss Financial, chatting with our financial retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. Don't forget, you can learn more about Kloss Financial all on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, the number 608-442-5637. Want to hold on to that number as well in just a couple of moments. We'll be doing the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, a chance to win a $25 gift card to Target. Before we get to that, though, Eric, we were talking in that last segment about if maybe you inherit a 401k or an IRA. Another thing you might inherit is a house with a mortgage. How would that inheritance affect someone's own estate?
Well, unfortunately, if you inherit a house with a mortgage, you also inherit the mortgage repayment. So that does not disappear upon death. So essentially, the bank has the right to request the repayment of the loan in full from the beneficiary. Now, ideally, you're going to have maybe other assets, cash, or investments that you're inheriting that you could potentially use to pay off the mortgage. But that's certainly not always the case. So I think the first decision that the beneficiaries and the executor need to decide is what's going to happen with the house. Are we just going to sell it and, you know, distribute the proceeds to the heirs after we pay off the mortgage? Or does somebody want to retain the home? Somebody's going to move into it and maybe buy everyone else out. So really, these are ideally questions that hopefully were spelled out pretty well in the estate plan of the deceased individual. Again, as we've seen, that is not always the case, but that is the ideal. But you know, if you're looking at maybe there's three siblings and one wants to live in the house and says, yeah, I'll find a way to forego some other inheritance to kind of equal it out amongst the beneficiaries, that can work too. It's just obviously not quite as clean and concise. But this really speaks to, I think, really important point that we would want listeners to hear from the conversation today. Talked a lot about how complicated inheriting assets is, whether it's a house, retirement account, investment account, anything. So we wanted this to kind of serve as a reminder to either review or create your own estate plan. So an estate plan is not only going to determine how your assets are distributed, but it can also be used to protect the wealth you have accumulated. So as you can imagine, from a beneficiary perspective, a really nice, clean, well-thought-out estate plan is a gold mine, because this whole process can be really, really not only complicated but emotional. And to be able to spell out your wishes and really, really not leave anything up to interpretation makes it a lot easier on the beneficiaries. So we're talking about working through your estate plan, reviewing and naming beneficiaries for your accounts. Making sure that non-retirement accounts have what's called a transfer on death designation, just making sure that you have really clear instructions for what you would like to happen in the event of your death.
Very important information this morning, and I think I call it informationally dense program. A lot of stuff this week. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can always listen back. KlaasFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It is complimentary to you. You're also going to hold on to that number because it's time now for the Klaas Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Klaas Quiz Question of the Week. We'll then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Klaas Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Target. This week's Klaas Quiz Question of the Week is this. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what percentage of people who receive an inheritance spend all of it at once? Is it 10% or more than 30%? Telephone number 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, win the $25 gift card to Target. And again, don't forget that is Klaas Financial's office number here in Madison as well. 608-442-5637. Eric, CJ, it's always great chatting with you guys. Enjoy this fantastic day.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, John.
News is next here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Klaas Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Klaas Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaas Financial.